T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
There's a drive hit to right center field and deep. Way back by the bullpen and gone. Into the bleachers, a home run for Jay Bruce.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the Mariners.
Swinging a hard shot to second, grab by D. Gordon. He throws to first and the ball game is over. The Red Sox leave the tying run in scoring position and they lose 3-4 to the Seattle Mariners in the season opening series.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with John Ryder on WEEI.
John Ryder, Red Sox Review, take you up until 10 o'clock. Room for you on the phone lines at 617-779-7937. You can text us as well, 37937. Big news concerning the Red Sox of the day. Well, first off, the biggest news was after the game, and about an hour ago or so now, somewhere around there, where according to multiple reports, and there's a lot of different people reporting this, including our own Rob Bradford of WEI, Evan Drellick, the first to break it, and then Alex Speer tweeting out, just to clarify, as he just tweeted this out recently, a 6-year, $120 million deal for Bogaerts from 2020 through 25. So Bogaerts playing this year on his current $12 million deal. So I guess there's an option in there for a seventh season. So 6 years, $120 million. Bogaerts, 26 years old. So a lot of news in terms of Red Sox contract extensions with their own teams, with their own players, I should say. Of course, Chris Sale grabbing all the headlines, the 5-year, $145 million deal that runs through 2024. There's a 2025 option. You've got Nathan Eovaldi, 4 years, $68 million through 2022, so that's $17 million a year. Bogaerts will get about $18 million of the year. I don't think Rick Porcello is back with his team, especially since reports from our own Rob Bradford of WBI.com was that Porcello was willing to take a discount to remain here with the Red Sox. It's funny that Porcello is still just 30 years old, but he's been in the big league since he's 20. That's why it feels like he's older than that. I was looking at the Mariners roster. Felix Hernandez, who's now their fifth starter, is still just 32 years old, but a lot of tread on that arm. He's now their fifth starter. He was all upset that he wasn't the opening day starter again in Seattle for, I think, like a sixth or seventh straight season. But anyhow, I'm fine with the Bogaerts deal. What do you think about it? I mean, how much does this play into the decision-making with Mookie Betts? Down the road, the Red Sox obviously willing to spend money, and we've known that it's been their M.O. ever since John Henry and Tom Warner took over this team, and it's been their M.O. for a long time now with this team. I don't have an issue. Actually, that's fine. Bogaerts, I think, would have got maybe a little bit more than $18 million out there on the open market. But if he puts up similar power numbers to what he did last year in this mark, he would get that. He would probably get, you know, at his age and hitting the market, not much more than that, but maybe some team would be willing to go out there and spend $19 million a year over, or maybe a longer contract potentially for Bogaerts. But it looks like this is going to be announced tomorrow when the Red Sox open up their 4-game series at Oakland. So, and the other concern, I said there's two bits of news with this team, obviously on the field. It's been the starting pitching, and we've been over this. I think the one that stands out of the four blunders so far and the four horrific starts, we saw Sale in the opener, followed by Eovaldi, then Eduardo Rodriguez last night, where, you know, again, nibbling and the same stuff we saw from him at times last year, which is so annoying because he's got great stuff. And then afterwards, Dana Lavangi saying that Eduardo Rodriguez and Blake Swihart couldn't get on the same page. A lot of people screaming for Sandy Leon already to be called up from Pawtucket to fix this pitching staff. I still put more onus on the pitchers themselves. These are veteran guys, and they got to get the job done. But Sale, number one, stands out to be the most. Then Porcello today. as he couldn't get out of the third inning in which he gives up seven runs. The offense hasn't been the issue for this team so far. Betts with the power late in the game. That was good to see. J.D. Martinez with another home run, his second of the season, the three-run shot for the Red Sox. But, you know, the Red Sox with the three-run first inning, and I'm thinking, all right, they're going to pile up the runs off the soft-tossing Wade LeBlanc today and even up this series and be 2-2. I mean, you think about it, Moreland's the pinch-hit home run, or the Red Sox are 0-4 to start the season. Seattle's 5-1. You might be thinking, how did they play that many games so far? Well, the other week they had two games in Japan when Ichiro announced his retirement, and they beat the A's, who the Red Sox are facing coming up here. So now David Price has to be the stopper tomorrow night in terms of that four-game series at Oakland. Give the particulars there. The Yankees haven't exactly got off to a great start. They're playing even a more woeful ball club, at least expectations-wise, and the Baltimore Orioles, and they lost today 7-5. So the Yankees now after a 1-2 start. They've only played three games. They had Friday off. It's interesting in baseball this season. They're giving some teams Fridays off, which is kind of interesting, as an off day at different points, which is, I think, fascinating considering that's a big gate day in terms of making money with people going to the ballpark on Friday nights. Hap didn't have it today for the Yankees, four runs over four innings. So Red Sox conversations, obviously Red Sox review, and we've been talking about it here for about an hour and 15 minutes. If you want to get into the Celtics conversation, I'm fine with that. Patriots or Bruins as well. Bruins are in action, and now they lead the Red Wings into the second period 3-2. So Jake DeBrusk, David Backes just scored late in the second period. DeBrusk got the scoring started after the Bruins gave up two in the first. DeBrusk, Marchand with the shorthanded goal for the Bruins. I feel like they've overachieved this season. Didn't it make any moves? Really too big of moves at the trade deadline, but and you know, Pasternak looked good since he came back from that thumb injury. If you want to get into them. Meanwhile, the Celtics have definitely underachieved. They had that bad loss last night. D'Angelo Russell lighting it up in the third quarter. Terry Rozier, terrible defense. And I can still see the Celtics team, and you know, and I'm sure everyone would agree with this. Would it shock you if they lose in the first round or make it to the NBA Finals? I mean, I think they'll get past the Pacers. If that ends up being the matchup, which there's five games to go, that looks like it's going to be the case. Now, the Pacers have overachieved since Victor Oladipo's injury. That Bojan Bogdanovic has been terrific for them. Thaddeus Young just keeps chugging along, kind of a solid journeyman player. They got Darren Collison in there as well, kind of another journeyman, but always been kind of solid at the point guard position. But in terms of talent, I mean, the Celtics have it way over the Pacers. They don't even have much of a bench. They've got Domantas Sabonis, who's very solid, could be sixth man of the year this year. But I think the Celtics can get past them. In fact, I mean, I think they could beat most. Toronto scares me even more than Milwaukee when it comes to the East in terms of the Celtics. Pascal Siakam, probably the most improved player in the NBA this season. Kawhi Leonard certainly has the postseason pedigree. After all, he was a finals MVP years back with the Spurs, and he's turning on there with Toronto. It's going to be a fascinating offseason in the NBA. You know, with Durant and Kyrie Irving, and are they going to go to Brooklyn? And, or, you know, could they be teaming up together with the Celtics? You had Brian Windhorst from ESPN saying they were thick as thieves, laughing it up at the All-Star game. And there was a report from him, Brian Windhorst of ESPN, that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant text or call each other on a daily basis. So obviously, whatever decision is going to be made between those two, I mean, would it be stunning that they are paired together? And Durant keeps playing this disrespect card in Golden State. I mean, I still think they repeat as champs. They've had kind of an underwhelming season for what they are, but I think that that every game they play is like an extended practice. It's like they toy with teams out there, just turn it on when they want to turn it on. And I still would be stunned if they didn't win the finals yet again, and the Golden State Warriors were champs yet again. But a tougher road out of the East this season, of course, is no more LeBron. And, boy, what a miserable season for the Lakers, which I'm sure everyone around here is happy to see. Of course, it's the Lakers, and it's LeBron. And now it seems like no one wants to play with LeBron. But so I think when it comes to Kyrie Irving, he's not going to make that final decision till July. I mean, he keeps talking about July. I think he changes his mind consistently. I think he's tough to figure out. I think the Celtics team is tough to figure out, largely in part because of Kyrie Irving. and the talent's there, and he hits that game-winning shot against the Pacers on Friday night and the potential playoff preview, which he'll probably be. I think the team that I fear more than Milwaukee, who's, I mean, I didn't see them winning 57. They might win 60 games this year. And Giannis is probably going to be the MVP, even though James Harden's putting up MVP numbers. Just the way the NBA goes, it seems like, well, it's his turn now. You know, even though Harden, you could say, is the MVP. But last year, I mean, you could make a case as well for Harden not getting the MVP, but he hasn't won it before, and that's the way the voters usually go. Well, Giannis hasn't won one yet, and he certainly has put up MVP numbers. If he ever develops an outside shot, he'll be the best player of the game. I mean, he's certainly one of the top three right now. But Milwaukee has a bunch of different injuries, too. Brogdon's out. Who am I forgetting here? They lost Gasol recently. Many would probably forget that Milwaukee picked up Pau Gasol. There's one other guy that's out for them, European player, big guy. Can't think of it. I'll look it up off the top of my head. But anyway, I still think Toronto would be the team that would fear. And I'm forgetting about the 76ers, who up until recently, the other week, the Celtics have had their time with the 76ers so far this season. They've got a very talented starting five. And Joel Embiid, who I thought, I mean, early in the season was the top MVP guy, out with the injuries of late, but he's back. What a starting five they have. But I don't know if they have enough shooting to get it done in the postseason. Tobias Harris was a good pickup, and he can hit it from the outside. And he's a pretty good three-point shooter. He's a good all-around player. That was a good pickup for them. But they should be interesting. I still don't see the 76ers. I see it between the Celtics and the Raptors. Love to hear your thoughts on that. So some Celtics conversation. Of course, it's been a wild Patriots offseason for not great reasons. They lead their arguably their top defensive player, certainly in the front there, and Trey Flowers to the Lions. And you know a team was going to, and you figured he'd probably go. And then their starting left tackle, Trent Brown. And then Rob Gronkowski to retirement, although his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, has left the door open for a potential return. And everything that's happened with the Patriots this offseason has been a complete debacle. I mean, obviously, we all know what happened with the owner and, the Gronkowski retirement's the most glaring out of it in terms of on the field and, you know, who are they going to fill in at the wide receiver position? I mean, right now there's not much depth there behind Julian Edelman. So those are just some of the other thoughts outside of the Red Sox as well at 617-779-7937. You can text us 37937. As I was going on there, the big news was Xander Bogaerts signing a six-year deal, really a seven, so there's an option for a seventh, but Alex Speer, and he's a trusted source, 6 years, $120 million. Evan Drellick, the first to break the news, and I don't have an issue with it. I'm fine with it. And, you know, you wonder what type of contract Mookie Betts. Obviously, he's betting on himself to be fine after this season and next and cash in free agency. Obviously, waiting for free agency. He's been clear about that. And see if a team will go out there and give him. I mean, is he going to eclipse Mike Trout? Do you think? I mean, that's 2 years away. So at some point, I mean, Trout's the best in the game. Is there anyone out there right now coming up that could eclipse $430 million? I don't think so. I mean, unless it's Mookie Betts, he'd be the only one coming up here in the next couple of years. I mean, most of the superstar players, of course, this was the big year of free agency, and it really was Major League Baseball. I mean, they've got to do, I mean, another, the offseason used to be so big in Major League Baseball. Remember the Hot Stove? There's a Hot Stove show here on this station for so many years, and these free agents signing so late, and you've still got some out there, including Craig Kimbrel, who's out there. And there's been talk about Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's a very good team. That'd be interesting. And Atlanta, who won the NL East, and that's where he started his career out. I mean, will this, and this has been a constant topic, but you wonder about the closer position. You wonder about this Red Sox bullpen. I still think they make a move for a reliever at the trade deadline. There's only the two changes this year. They're going to, you know, talk about the pitch clock again for potentially next season, not for this season. And obviously, they need it. Major League Baseball needs it, and a lot of the players are against, or the pitchers are against it. But you've got the one trade deadline that comes in July. and an election for the All-Star game. That's how they've changed up Major League Baseball. Not exactly drastic changes for this season. All right, thoughts on Xander Bogaerts, thoughts on this Red Sox starting rotation? It's got to be better than this, right? I mean, what kind of start is David Price going to give him tomorrow night in Oakland? I mean, will he cough it up? Will we be seeing him exit after, say, you know, three or four innings giving up 8 or 9 runs? And Oakland can mash. I mean, they've got some guys, especially Chris Davis, who routinely hits over 40 home runs. And a lot of people forget that he was the AL home run champ last season. It wasn't J.D. Martinez. It was Chris Davis that edged him out. They're an interesting young team, and they always seemingly are in rebuilding mode. But they overachieved last season, so the Red Sox have 4 coming up at Oakland. All right, 617-779-7937. I've been promising to get us some texts. I will. At 37937, a lot of people complaining about how the Red Sox baby the pitching staff. This text seems like it's from like 5 years ago. Hate to say it, but taking steroids out of baseball is causing the market correction. So some steroid, get steroids back in the game. I don't think they've ever left the game, by the way. I don't think they ever have. I think they kind of still pick and choose. I mean, I still think there's something going on. I mean, we're going to see, you know, guys approaching again, much like last year, 50 home runs. I mean, these are big dudes that can hit it out of the ballpark, and it's not a complete surprise. All right, we're late for a break. 617-779-7937. You can text us 37937. Reaction to the Xander Bogaerts 6-year, $120 million extension with the Red Sox. So that kicks in next year, 2020. He'll be playing under his 1-year, $12 million deal. So that's one question mark that has been answered. So Xander Bogaerts, by all indications, in the fold for the next 6 years. So now the offseason question marks for the Red Sox. The biggest one now lingering will be J.D. Martinez, because I'm guessing he will opt out after this season to cash in, and he has the opportunity to do that. The other question marks with his team, to a lesser extent, what will happen with Rick Porcello? We know Nathan Eovaldi's in the fold, Chris Sale, and now Xander Bogaerts. And now can they get this pitching set? And I think they will turn things around. I still concern myself with Sale breaking down. That's my biggest, and really the biggest concern heading into this season. That, along with the, you know, closing out games. I mean, I think that has to be the two biggest concerns for the Red Sox heading into this season. Your thoughts. We'll continue here. John Ryder, Red Sox Review, another half hour to go. 617-779-7937. You can text us as well, 37937. It's Red Sox Review on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
John Ryder back with you here, Red Sox Review. Take you up until 10 o'clock, as you just heard there from the voiceover guy. 617-779-7937. Text us 37937. So the Red Sox 1-3 to start the season. Could be 0-4 if it wasn't for Mitch Moreland, that pinch hit 3-run homer the other night. But Rick Porcello didn't have it today, clearly. In fact, the Red Sox starting pitchers have not had it so far. As I mentioned previously, in terms of this team and the starting pitching, right now, so now it's 9 runs. Let's see. Porcello gives up 9 runs over 2 2/3 innings. Starting pitchers have allowed 22 earned runs over 15 innings. That's a 13.20 ERA. Can't be said enough. I mean, as Red Sox jump out to the 3-0 lead, and then Porcello gives it right back, 7-run third inning. Big news of the day is Xander Bogaerts agreeing on a 6-year, $120 million contract extension with the Red Sox, by all indications. Multiple reports out there. First to break it was Evan Drellick, does some work here on WEI. And then Rob Bradford has the information as well, and Alex Spear of the Boston Globe. Rob Bradford has an article up right now on WEI.com. So for that, against that, I don't know how he can be against it. And You know, Bogaerts last season, 288, 23 home runs, an OPS well over 800, nearing 900. So it's interesting now, as I mentioned before, in Major League Baseball, which you didn't see before. I mean, usually guys couldn't wait to hit free agency. But now the trend has been, well, teams trying to agree with extensions and players trying to cash in early. I mean, now the time to get the deals done. And I mentioned it, by all analytics, they're saying 27 years old is the prime age for a baseball player. And Bogaerts currently 26. So 6 years, $120 million. I mean, does this affect J.D. Martinez and their ability to sign him after this season? I think J.D. Martinez is very important, and I don't think enough has been talked about that. And you know, we know what happened once David Ortiz left for that one season there in terms of the middle-of-the-order production. Some other lesser notes, some other news, and this was before the game today. Dustin Pedroia, starting a rehab assignment at Single-A Greenville, might be able to come off the DL by the home opener coming up, not this week, but the following Tuesday against Toronto, which is obviously a big day all the time here in Boston. I'm sure Pedroia will be attendance, even if he's not able to get off the DL at that point. So they're going to see how things go over the course of this week in Greenville and then make a decision there. I guess Steve Pierce is coming along just fine in terms of that calf injury, so he should be ready to go somewhat soon. That would probably mean Sam Travis going back down to Pawtucket. In fact, I'd heavily predict that move. A lot of people, including some texters out there, want to see Sandy Leon back. I still put more onus right now on these starting pitchers, and they have to be better than this, and they will be better than this. I mean, that's almost tough to do, what they've done through these first four games. The bright spots, J.D. Martinez with a three-run homer today, so that's his second of the season. He continues to mash. The offense obviously hasn't been the problem here for the Red Sox. They put up eight today. And the bullpen hasn't been the problem. And I, again, if you keep dipping into this bullpen this early, these guys are going to be gassed by the middle of the next week. So they really need a solid start from David Price. Even if Price scuffles, you wonder if they make him pitch five. Even if he gives up, say, a crooked number like Porcello did today early on. So now you're counting on David Price to be the stopper. Of course, you know, coming off that terrific postseason he had. And there's going to be question marks. If this starting pitching struggles, there are going to be question marks about the World Series hangover and how much they had to go in the postseason, in particular Evaldi out of the bullpen in the postseason. So I still think this Red Sox team's a playoff team. I mean, they could very well win the division. Yankees, a team that has a few flaws as well. You would expect their bullpen and their power hitting. They hit so many home runs last year, and I'm sure they'll hit a ton of home runs again this year. And Brett Gardner saying his World Series are bust for them. I do want to see a Red Sox-Yankees ALCS this year. I know they met in the postseason last year, but I want to see them meet in the ALCS this year. Although I think Houston will have something to say about that. In fact, many, including myself, thinking that Houston probably be the team to beat. But how about those Tampa Bay Rays, those pesky Rays taking three out of four from the Astros over the weekend? All right, 617-779-7937. Text us as well, 37937. It's John Ryder with you. Red Sox Review. It's been mostly Red Sox conversation. After all, it is Red Sox Review, and I'm fine with that. Love talking Red Sox. Love talking all Boston sports here, as I have for so many years on WEI. If you want to call in about the Celtics, the Patriots, the Bruins, fine with me as well, or anything in a national perspective. The Final Four is now set, if you even want to get into that. As I paid attention to college basketball this season, Zion Williamson had a big game for Duke, and will he be the he's definitely going to be the number one pick. Probably Ja Morant will be the second pick, and I think he'll be a very good pro. I mean, it'd be interesting, a team like Phoenix, if Ja Morant, they're in desperation of a point guard. They've got a very good team there with, well, good young team. They've been terrible this season, but I mean, they've got some pieces there, is what I should say, with Devin Booker at the two guard, and he's put up multiple 50-point games. And DeAndre Ayton, overshadowed by some in terms of the rookie class, the way Luka Doncic and Trae Young had performed, but a guy like Ja Morant really infused that team. And probably R.J. Barrett would be the third pick overall in my early mock draft, which I don't do typically mock NBA drafts. You won't find it anywhere. except for maybe on the air. But Michigan State outlasts Duke 68-67. Auburn in overtime. The SEC champs knocking off SEC foe Kentucky 77-71. So you're going to have Michigan State. So the Final Four is set for next weekend. It's Michigan State against Texas Tech and Virginia against Auburn. So Virginia, after losing to Maryland Baltimore County in the first round last year, ends up making it to the Final Four. So Tony Bennett finally gets to the Final Four. They'll be taking on Auburn. And Bruce Pearl, what an unusual career he's had. Formerly of Tennessee and other stops. Now he's getting the job done with Auburn. Texas Tech's been a very solid team all season. That kid Culver, Jarrett Culver, really can play. Anyway, I know we don't, I mean, I think this is the most college basketball anyone's talked on WEI since the days of Ted Sarandis. We don't have to delve too much deeper into that, but just throwing it all out there for you on a Sunday night at 9:40 at night. All right, before the break, let's hear what Alex Cora had to say, the Red Sox manager, after the Red Sox now off to a 1-3 start, and Rick Porcello with a rough outing today in Seattle.
Not good baseball. We didn't get in from the starters, and that's hard to do. I mean, the only positive out of the whole weekend is the bullpen. They did an outstanding job, but I think although offensively we scored runs, we left a lot of people out there. Defensively, we didn't play well, and we have to move on.
Do you have any answer for the pitching walls?
So what?
Do you have any answer for the starting pitching walls?
We'll be fine, yeah.
What do you see from there?
A lot of pitches in the middle of the zone. The slider to Narvaez. He started off well, and then they start making adjustments. They got a fastball, first pitch, right in the middle. Hit a line drive with a shortstop, and then it just kept rolling. The whole weekend was that way. You know, they start swinging the bats well, and we didn't stop them until it was too late, and then the bullpen did a good job.
Alex, you talked about the team playing a little cleaner toward the end of the spring, but you made errors in each of the first four, a bunch of unearned runs today. How surprising has that been?
Like I said, we didn't play well. We were lucky we won one. You know, we came back. I mean, great that we tried to come back yesterday, great that we tried to come back today, but that can happen. It's going to be hard. You know, that's so hard. And we're already in a tough spot this week because of the bullpen, and obviously the starters not going deep, but we'll find a way. You know, tomorrow we got DP. Hopefully he gets us rolling, and then everybody starts throwing the ball well.
The fact that every starter so far has struggled, does that cause you to rethink how you got ready with them in spring training?
I didn't rethink about last year. You saw what happened. It was the same plan. So, you know, whoever is doubting us what we did last year, I mean, this year, check what happened last year. We did the same thing. You know. Yeah, but I mean, when I got here, I remember when people say that Chris was throwing 100 in the first game of 2017. So, I mean, it's easy to second guess now, you know, what we did. Nobody second guesses last year. It's a program. You have to be disciplined. So that's the way I see it. You know, if people think that, you know, they didn't start too many games or they have too many innings, they should get back to what we did last year in spring training. I mean, we play until October 28th. And the previous year, when I got here, everybody was talking about how they ran out of bullets in October against the Houston Astros. So,
the fact that all four of the guys struggled the way they did, is there something, a common denominator to all of that?
I think we left a lot of pitches over the play, and they did a good job. You know, they swung the bats well in Japan, too. I mean, for whatever people think they're doing over there as far as, like, rebuilding and trading guys, you look at the lineup, you know, they got some good hitters, some veteran guys that they know what they're doing. They swung the bats well.
Obviously, what you did in spring training, you're gearing up for a long season. Is potentially part of the price that it might take a turn or two for them to get through the rotation?
I mean, we expect them to throw the ball well regardless. I mean, we did the same thing last year. You know, I mean, Chris won 7 in Tampa, 5 in Miami. I mean, I don't know why people now all of a sudden, you know, it's a bad program. You know, it worked last year. You know, everybody was cool when the starters were pitching October and coming out of the bullpen and be Rovers. It's easy to second guess now because we didn't pitch well here.
And I'm not going to, you know, use the schedule as an excuse, but 7 games left on this trip. How do you kind of manage the bullpen and kind of make sure guys stay fresh?
It's not going to be easy, but I think it starts with the rotation. You know, they give us 6, and we go from there. The bullpen did an outstanding job. We threw the ball well. We struck people out. They didn't say anything, you know. If you tell me coming into the series that it was going to be this way, I would say no chance, you know. But it's baseball, you know. You got to give them credit, like I said. Those guys are going to be okay throughout the season. We know that.
You lost that ball in the sun, but then kind of recovered in time. Kind of surprised that played those 12 there.
Well, he just missed it. He said that the sun was right there. You know, he was there the whole time. You know, he just dropped it. No excuses.
Offensively, he's been, you know, kind of picking up right where he left off. What have you seen from his?
Today was his best day as far as approach. You know, he wasn't swinging early. He was very patient, looking for his pitches, and that's who he is. You know, the walk was a great at bat, obviously with the home run. You know, but when he starts swinging at pitches in the middle of the zone, just like Mookie did today, good things happen.
What do you think a four-game series like this can do for your team in terms of maybe refocusing that and getting?
I thought we were focused. It just happened that we run into a team that's run the best well, and we didn't play well. You know, that happens, you know. Like I've been saying all along, you know, the first week of the season, everybody, you know, it gets magnified. You know, it's 1-3. Yeah, it's 1-3. You know, we probably lost 3 out of 4 somewhere last year, and the team has lost 3 out of 4 the last 3 years. You know, it's part of it. So we just got to go to Oakland, they have a good team. They swing the bat well, and, you know, play good baseball, try to win the series, and move on.
Yeah, not a lot of house, as Red Sox manager Alex Cora, not a lot of household names on the Seattle team. I guess, you know, if you just pay somewhat attention to baseball, you'd know Edwin Encarnacion, who wasn't even in the lineup, didn't even play today. Maybe some other guys, but for the most, D. Gordon, who's been an all-star and a batting champ in the past, batting champ in the National League anyway, and Jay Bruce. But other than that, I mean, who are these guys if you don't pay close attention to baseball? But the Mariners end up taking 3 out of 4. And clearly the problem for the Red Sox was the starting pitching. And, yeah, I mean, I figured Alex Cora might say something like that. You know, you lose 3 out of 4, and I said it earlier, you lose 3 out of 4 in July, maybe it's not as glaring, although it would raise some eyebrows, you know, if the starting pitches perform like that at any stretch during the season, but it does get magnified early in the season. All right, one more segment to go, Red Sox Review, John Ryder with you, WEI. Whether it's the Red Sox or anything else sports-wise, I'm fine with. Clearly Red Sox first and foremost, 617-779-7937. Text us 37937. Red Sox off to a 1-3 start after falling to the Mariners 10-8 today in Seattle to wrap up their series, now on to Oakland. Xander Bogaerts, 6-year contract extension worth $120 million, so almost $19 million a year. You can get into that as well. All right, final segment up next. This is Red Sox Review on WEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
John Ryder back with you here on Red Sox Review on WEEI at 617-779-7937. You can text us at 37937. We've got about 5 minutes to go, and now the phone calls are coming in fast and furious all of a sudden. All right, let's get to as many as we can. You never know, you know, Sunday night, these hours, you never know what might happen. All right, here's Aaron in Boston. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, so game one, we kind of threw it away, but games 2, 3, and 4. 2, we came back and won it in the 9th inning.
Mm-hmm.
3, the Red Sox got pretty close, but I think Xander Bogaerts looked at 3 pitches. 1 might have been not a strike or whatever. And then game 4... blew it in the 9th inning again there towards the end, but had a decent comeback.
Yeah, well, they had the tying runs on base in 3 out of the 4 games, late in the game.
Does that give you a good sign to the Red Sox? Maybe just the offense, but without the pitching?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't blame the offense, and the bullpen has been better than expected. I mean, even one little wrinkle in today's game that I haven't mentioned, I mean, Colton Brewer there, late, got into that jam and then worked out of it by ending up striking out the side, even though he got himself into a bases-loaded jam. And I thought that the Mariners were going to erupt for even more. I mean, Workman looked good today. Brazier pitched, well, he gave up a hit, but he pitched a pretty much clean inning. I mean, that was today. So, you know, the bullpen, it's just, I mean, look, I think everyone would be in massive agreement. It's the starting pitching so far that's been the most glaring and upsetting. I don't think it'll continue this way. My biggest concern, and I feel this, and I'm not, and I'm sure most do, that pay attention to the Red Sox, is they need a dominant and healthy Chris Sale this season. I mean, I know at points they got away with, you know, missing some time last year. I just feel the Yankees are even stronger than they were last year, and they're really going to need Sale. I mean, that's not exactly earth-shattering what I'm saying. I think most would agree.
I just think that the offense, as bad as the starting pitching has looked, the offense can keep us together and maybe keep us in some games.
Oh, and they have. They have so far. But, I mean, you give up. I mean, it's so tough to fight back. When you're, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you get the three spot in the first, but all of a sudden Porcello gives up two in the second, then they you know, are up for seven in the third. It's tough to come back from that. I mean, I don't care what team you are. I don't even care if you're one of those, you know, I mean, last year's team winning 108 wins. I mean, that's tough to do, come back, and they've almost done it. I mean, there's been some bright spots, I guess. I mean, it's just been the starting pitch. I mean, who would have thunk it? I mean, who would have thought that would happen? All right, thanks, Aaron. Let's get real quick to Eddie in a pizza shop. We've got a minute here. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, I just wanted to mention.
I like that in a pizza show
interview.
Yeah,
they're asking all these silly questions. It's game. It's like game three or four of the season. You know what I'm saying? You're not trying. The offense is looking fantastic. When you score seven runs, you expect to win the game. Just the starting pitching, they just need some time to like stretch out those arms. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm not going to say the season's over already. Certainly, I mean, look, you know, there's plenty to go. It is horrific what's happened so far over these first four games in terms of the starting pitching. Everyone would agree with that, but I can't see that continuing. All right, we're up against it here. Thanks to John Anderson for running things back there. I'm John Ryder. I'll talk to you soon. This has been Red Sox Review on WEI after the Red Sox fall to the Mariners 10-8. Talk to you soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.